The sermon this morning is entitled, A Fishing Story in Three Scenes. I have two things I want to say before the message and the readings. I thought about preaching this sermon next week, because next week we elect new disciples, if you will, new elders and deacons. You see the slate of names in the bulletin, and it would be an appropriate message for next week. But the Mark passage that I'll read in a moment is from the lectionary for this week. And so I'm using it as the key text to talk about some fishing stories in the Gospels. I want to add some homework for you. You wouldn't be surprised if your pastor asked you to go home and read the Bible, would you? I want to encourage you to go home and read from John's Gospel, John chapter 21. The reason I do that is I have paired the reading from Mark today with chapter 5 in the Gospel of Luke. And in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke, Luke gives his version of the call of the disciples. Now, in John 21, I find it extremely interesting that John uses the story that we read in the introduction of the disciples in Luke 5. John uses it in chapter 21 to reveal Jesus coming to the disciples after his resurrection, and they do not recognize him. And you find almost this identical story from Luke 5 at John 21. There are some unique differences, but I encourage you to read those. Read John 21 later, not during the sermon. And so the lectionary reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1, beginning at 14, verse 14. Jesus calls his first disciples. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, note this, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Then we turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, where Luke tells us about Jesus calling his first disciples. Beginning at verse 1, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out deep into the water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night. We have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets.' When he had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come for help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, having read your word, we now come to hear it proclaimed. And O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do so that we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you know I'm a fisherman. I haven't fished, I'll confess, in a long time. But I'll have to get back to that. But you wouldn't be surprised if I told you that I have a large fishing net in the shed behind my house that I take with me almost every time. And I'll confess, there's often nothing so exciting as casting that net and catching a large bunch of fish. It's so exciting when the lines are so taut that you have to call for help to get the fish in. That's so exciting as a fisherman. In Luke's gospel, we have this story of Jesus calling his disciples, and they have a boat so full of fish that the boat wallows in the water, if you will, like a stuffed whale, and barely makes it back to shore. In all their years of fishing, Simon and his companions had never had a catch like this. Now, if you try hard enough, you can imagine, you can almost see them tugging at their nets, and you can almost hear them shouting in joy and laughter at this great catch. They are both overjoyed and they are amazed, perhaps even trembling with a little fear. There's so many of them. They have to yell across the water to their friends, "Come and help! All these fish are too much for our boat. We're beginning to sink. Come and help." And it is in this high moment of success that Jesus says to them, "You think this is exciting? Follow me, and from now on, you will be catching people." This is the expectation of every church, isn't it? It is the assumption of every church that we believe that we are called to catch people. We are responding to an appetite that people have, a hunger for God, as we gather for worship and vision to be the church and live in mission and learn to come, grow, and go in Him. This is our expectation, that we will seek in our vision to reach out to children, to youth, and to families, and to individuals of all ages, to encourage and nurture them and feed their hunger, their appetite, in this search for God. It is my sincere belief that this search to find God, whether people realize it or not, is a hunger of every person from the cradle to the grave. I believe that. The one burning desire that people have, whether, again, they realize it or not, young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, is this hunger to know God. And thus, in our readings this morning, Jesus gives to the fishermen a vision of the ministry to which he calls both those first disciples and to which he calls us, to respond to this appetite. Note with me that in this story, there is a discordant note amid all the excitement. Did you see it? It comes in Simon the big fisherman, because instead of expressing his joy in the great catch, note what he says. He cries, in fact, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." How interesting. Clearly, there is awe and reverence in Simon's words. Perhaps a feeling of inadequacy. Simon knows that he is encountering one who is not to be taken lightly. Peter knows, like some of us who have been following Jesus for years, that the ministry to which Christ calls Simon is not only epitomized by the drama of the great catch, but also by the entire story that you find here. And I say this because if you read this story carefully, and it's quite complicated, it reminds me that ministry is not always about bulging nets and boats that are so full that they are brimming with fish, so full that they are about to sink. Ministry is not always like that. Simon, remember, he is a fisherman, and he knows, boy, does he know, that fishing is often more about beached boats and mending nets and fishing all day or night and going home with nothing. He knows that. And if Jesus is calling Simon to cast his net for people, the question then for us is this: is this also to reflect what Simon knows about casting his net for the elusive fish? The exciting part of this story, of course, is when we see the nets breaking from this great catch of fish. Of course, that's exciting. But let's not forget that there are other scenes to learn from in this drama that takes place in Luke chapter 5. Just so follow me this morning as if we're on a movie set and I'm the director trying to pan the camera so you can see what's taking place. And if we're doing that, then here's scene one, I would propose. At the beginning of the scene, the beginning of the story, we're showing the boats are beached and the nets are empty and the fishermen are washing their nets, getting all the grass out of it and perhaps making sure that all the knots are tied so that when they use the nets again, there will not be big holes for the fish to get through. They'll catch fish. They are doing routine and mundane tasks that are necessary if the nets are to be effective when they cast again. The scene is quiet. No background music, just the relentless sound of the waves licking the beach over and over, almost as mundane as the mending of nets. Tedious, if you will. Scene two. One boat is pushed away from the shore. It bobs in the waves. The nets are in the boat, mended, ready to be tossed out again. There are the sounds of the sighs of weary fishermen heard in the distance, fishermen who have worked all night but caught nothing. And they are resting. They are weary from that long night, and they are waiting for the energy. They are waiting for the zest to come again to go back out and fish. But right now, there's no expectation. There's no hope. There's no energy. They're exhausted. You see, we often read through the first part of the story, these two scenes, very quickly to get to the exciting part, right? But note that they are just as much of the story as Jesus' call of Simon and the others in the last scene, the great catch of fish. Simon and the others spent a great deal of time, I can imagine, washing their nets, and while they were doing that, listening to Jesus, trying to catch on, if you will, to the depth of what he was trying to teach them, what it was all about. You know, many people do not spend a great deal of time catching on to really much of anything. Most people, as a matter of fact, in life, if you've noticed, just kind of skim the surface. Have you ever noticed that? There's not a lot of deepness out there sometimes. Somewhere I read this quote that I've always liked. I read that by common estimation, most people realize only 10% of their life potential. They see only 10% of the world's beauty and hear only 10% of the world's music and poetry. They are only alive to 10% of the deep and rich feelings possible as human beings. There is a wonderful story that reminds me of this. It was told to me by the Reverend Dr. David Steele. He was moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. He was a professor at Columbia Seminary, where I attended. And also in his retirement, he was a member of my first church in Edinburgh. Imagine having your preaching professor sitting in the front row every week in your first church. It was a very humbling experience. But I tell you all that because he became a very close friend. As a matter of fact, he taught me how to fly fish. I wish I had made notes because he took me to so many estates where he had the privilege to go in, no boat, no motor on the boat, just a boat, and we would paddle out into this little lake and fly fish most of the day. Wonderful memory. And there was a story that he told that is apocryphal, I assume, but it is a good story worth hearing about the Astronomer Royal and the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, if you don't know, the Astronomer Royal is the astronomer who receives the highest honor each year in Great Britain for their work. And the Astronomer Royal was sitting with the Archbishop of Canterbury at some highfalutin social dinner occasion, and the Astronomer Royal said to the Archbishop, "You know, to me, the whole of the Christian faith could be summed up in the words, 'Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.'" And the Archbishop said, "Oh, really? Well, to me, the whole of astrology can be summed up by the lines, 'Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.'" As we will finally see, the disciples at the end of this story, after they make the great catch, they're given an invitation to make a greater catch. If you follow me, you'll be catching people. I would suggest to you that's not just a surfacey expression, that our Lord said that with some of the deepest meaning of what it means to be a human being. We have this appetite, this hunger for God, and Jesus knew that. And so he calls his first disciples to be fishermen, to be fishers of people. And I would like to say to you, I would like to be able to say to you that Jesus calls his disciples to one high, joyous moment after the other. That every time we cast the nets, they would come up full and heavy. That every time we go fishing, the boats that we launch will come back so full they'll almost seem like they're sinking. That's what I'd like to say to you. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that whatever we do as individuals in our lives and whatever we do as a church will always come back with shouts of joy and success and great acclaim. But here's the reality. When we answer the call to follow Jesus Christ, to seek to become His disciples, we will spend a lot of time by beached boats mending our nets. There will be those times when we do all that we know how to do in a situation and it seems like nothing happens, that nothing works out, and all hope is lost. Don't lose hope. Keep mending the nets. The time will come. We often will spend a lot of time in our lives and in the church, in committee meetings, making phone calls, sending notes to one another, doing things often that seem to have no particular point or end. All too often, we will be recruiting people, if not begging people, to go to a presbytery meeting, filling out reports, and talking to prospective members. And sometimes even in our families and in the church, smoothing ruffled feathers. But remember, those times that we do these things are just as much a part of the story of faith as the great catch. I have shared with you once before, back in 2007, I keep notes. I shared with you a quote from a book entitled My Creator and Friend by John Larson, and in it, it has a wonderful statement that I remember to read every so often about how all of us should seek to follow Jesus Christ. Larson writes these words, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will get you nowhere and will make you vulnerable. Be vulnerable anyway. People really need your help and your love, but they will attack you if you try to help them. Try anyway. I cherish those words. Mend the nets and never give up. Friends, much of life and faith is about washing nets beside boats on the beach and just waiting. But look what happened. Look what happened when Simon and his companions were doing just that in this story. They looked up and there was Jesus sitting in Simon's boat, teaching the people what? The very Word of God. Had Simon and the other disciples, would-be followers, had they not been there mending and washing their nets, they may have missed out on a very important message. So here's the point. Do not despair in your life about the time it takes to wash the nets in your life and sit by beached boats. Sometimes the weather's not very good, and it's not good to go out in a boat in bad weather. There are reasons to sit and wait. For it could be the very moment that Jesus is trying to speak to you, prepare you, preparing His church, teaching us the very Word of God. Which is to say, how much of ministry and how much of our lives are going out in the same old sea, in the same old boat, and fishing with the same old nets. Day after day after day, life sometimes is like that. And so in our reading of Luke's story, what I'm suggesting to you today is to embrace all three scenes, not just the last one. You see, we have a word here from Jesus himself, a word which calls us to faithfulness, to follow him. And as long as we hear his word and his teachings, we can keep on letting down those nets every time, even when we're tired. For Simon and the others in our story, it was that one more time that the great surprise came. It was because of that one more time that the nets came up heavy and full. Which is to say, you see, the excitement often in our relationship with Jesus Christ is not necessarily a series of uninterrupted big catches or guaranteed successes, but rather that nets which so often are empty can suddenly become full of life. The mystery, of course, is we do not know when it's going to happen or why it's going to happen or even how. But we can be sure it will not happen if we are not ready and preparing, mending our necks and listening to his words. And I found another part of this story is the mystery that it is Jesus Christ that brings about the big surprise. And so, hear the call of Jesus Christ today in your life. This is what he says to you. Hey, you, sitting there on the beach beside that boat, mending your nets, push out one more time, because this could be the very day. Praise be to God. Amen.